Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
You're back with Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Time now to talk Texans with ESPN Texans reporter DJ Bienemé. Brought to you by Houston Powder Coaters and the DraftKings Sportsbook at Golden Nugget Lake Charles.
We are so close to the end of the offseason. 16 days away from the start of the NFL season. A few more days than that. I don't do math. That's lame. From the Houston Texans beginning their season. And with us in studio, the man who covers the Houston Texans for ESPN, it's DJ Bienemé. DJ, what's up?
I'm doing all right. I just want the audience to know that Paul is a boomer and he was hating on Little League Baseball because the kids were celebrating after getting a ground ball out.
Yeah.
That just shows the character. That just shows the character of this guy.
Well, sorry. Unwritten rules say that the next time one of those kids comes out, he needs to get plunked.
That's how it works. That is crazy.
I mean, that's just baseball, DJ. I understand you're a football guy, but in baseball, if you get shown up, you get to throw a ball at a guy. Now, what's ironic about being able to throw a ball at a guy is that the batter can't do anything with the bat against you.
No, right?
He has to just take it and then hope that he has the opportunity to somehow get you back in a future plate appearance. Baseball's unwritten rules.
Yep.
Confusing.
Yep.
Football, less confusing. On Saturday, I thought that Jalen Petrie was the star of the game. I thought he looked really good in that nickel role. And I'm guessing this all but confirms that he will be in that spot for the most part this season.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, he's taken very little reps outside of the nickel. Sometimes he's been back deep, but he's been in the slot the majority of camp. And obviously, every single snap he's taken throughout preseason has been in the nickel. And he's looked good, right? He had the pick six, and that was just him just continuing to fight to the ball. And, you know, he had a TFL. He had one play where, even though it was a dead play-ish, he met Devin Singletary at the sideline. So, yeah, he's looking more like the guy that we saw in his rookie year, which I guess like the better version. Because when he's around the box, he just feels more natural there. He feels more disruptive there. And it's funny, like last year, to start the season, he was around the box a little bit more. That's when he ended up getting hurt because he blitzed Lamar Jackson and Lamar put up his knee and kneed him in the chest, incidentally. But even in that game, you kind of feel, and throughout that first quarter, he was flying around the ball, and that's when he's at his best. So, you know, again, Petrie looks like the guy that we were high going into last season. And he's going to be able to continue on that trajectory and not be the guy that was kind of like, what happened here last year, you know?
But? The New York Jets, you covered them. You covered the worst part of the Texans. Is Daniel Jones the worst quarterback you've ever seen? Because that throw sucked.
No. I've seen way worse quarterbacks.
What, Kyle Allen?
Tim Boyle.
I mean, Tim Boyle's here. Yeah,
Tim Boyle's here. He's in New York, too.
That's true.
Tim Boyle's here.
What's his touchdown interception ratio for his career?
It's like
1-16?
2-19 or something like that. Yeah. I mean, Zach is way worse than Daniel Jones, though.
Zach Wilson?
It's not even close.
Okay.
Like, they're not even in the same, like, planet.
Jones just got paid.
He did.
That's what changes it a little bit.
And yeah. So, you know, it's just a little more disappointing. But, like, Zach couldn't play at all. So, yeah, no, Daniel Jones. Okay. I've seen way worse quarterbacks than Daniel Jones.
So we did see that when the starters were out there on defense, though, that now with Petrie in this new position, we saw Kalen Bullock getting reps with the ones.
Yep.
Is that something we're going to see, you think, pretty consistently? Like, he's going to maybe not start the game at safety, but we'll see a pretty heavily active role for Bullock as a rookie for this team?
Yeah, I could see by week four he's in the starting lineup permanently.
Wow.
I could see by week four. I mean, at this point, because like, they're rotating, it's only a matter of time at this point. You know, it's kind of inevitable. And it's not like the guy that's holding on to the spot is like a decorated, accomplished player. Like, it's a solid player in Eric Murray that's going to do his assignment and literally just do that, but won't really, like, step outside of it and make plays, et cetera, et cetera. So Bullock has already shown the center field ability to be able to, you know, run across the field and make plays on the ball. And he just has a knack for finding passes down the field, things of that nature. So, I mean, it's only a matter of time. You know, it's just when. You know, it was kind of similar to when, you know, last year when CJ and Davis were having a quarterback competition. It was like, it was only a matter of time until CJ won, right? And he won it pretty early. So I think, you know, Kalen, it might be a little bit later, but he'll eventually be the starter. I think by week four, probably he'll be starting.
Galan and George, ESPN's DJ Bien-Aimé, Houston Texans beat reporter, in studio with us, Joe George, Paul Gallant. The Texans' running game has struggled throughout training camp and in these preseason games, and at least early on, that struggle continued. I know that when I asked him about it Sunday after preseason game number two, D'Amico said that the blocking needs to be better at the second level. Based off of what you know from both watching and from talking, what's the big issue for the running game right now? How much of it is Damian Pierce? How much of it is the actual offensive line?
Yeah, it's 50-50. You know, there's some plays where Damian's vision is lacking, and there's some plays where there's nowhere to go. So I know people are like, let's get Cam Akers with the ones, but like, he probably did like a little bit better on a couple of plays. Because remember, he only really got like a couple of carries there. But if the blocking is exactly the same, then you're not going to have much success. And I think at the end of the day, like, we have to, at a certain point, we have to accept the Texans' O-line for who they are, right? Like, if we go back to last year, they couldn't run the ball efficiently throughout the entire season. Like, Devin had some moments, but when they went against better defensive lines, it was null and void. So I think it is what it is, right? Like, this is just kind of who this O-line is. Right, like, even if, you know, even with Joe Mixon, like, I'm not saying,
that's what I was about to ask. Yeah, does Joe Mixon change that?
I mean, he can only change it so much, right? Like, that's just not a strong suit of theirs, and it kind of is. It is what it is at this point, you know. You're gonna have two fairly young players at center and left guard, and like that, obviously that's probably a big factor in terms of, one, they don't have that much chemistry to working together, so that plays a little bit of part into it. But even when they run like powers and things of that nature, like, it doesn't really yield much. The only silver lining point is that they haven't played with Laremy, so once they get Laremy, maybe it looks better. But it wasn't like the run game looked better with Laremy last year, you know. So it just kind of, it is what it is. Granted, it was Laremy and a bunch of injuries, but along the offensive line outside of Shaq, but, you know, I've kind of resigned to the fact that, because even against the Steelers, right, they didn't play T.J. Watt, they didn't play Highsmith, and they still couldn't run the ball with the starting unit. So, you know, they are who they are, and it, you know, like, now we have three different versions. We've seen them against the Texans defensive line, can't run the ball. Giants defensive line, can't run the ball. Steelers backup defensive line, can't run the ball. At a certain point, you just can't run the ball, you know. So Yeah, would Joe Mixon make it better than Damian has or Cam Akers has? I mean, could Cam do better than Damian? Sure, but, like, I mean, if you're going from, like, a, you know, like a 2 to, like, a 4, is that going to make that much of a difference? Not necessarily.
Is this something that, when you think about, you know, the future of the Texans this season, how far they can go, is this a red flag in terms of, like, what – like, how great this team can be because they can't run the ball?
Yeah.
Or is this something you think that because of C.J. Stroud, they can overcome?
Who's the last quarterback to overcome and make a deep playoff run like the Super Bowl or something like that without having, like, some semblance of a running game?
Because, like, Pacheco's been good.
Yeah.
Rashad White was good. Yeah. And Leonard Fournette when Tampa won it. Yeah. So they've had something, but you got to –
playoff Lenny.
They've got nothing.
Playoff Lenny, right? Yeah. Like, you can't – the defensive coordinators, defensive players in the playoffs – are too good to put it all on the shoulder of your quarterback. They're just too good. And at that point, what would be like, what, 4 months in, they would have seen every single play that you have outside of, like, maybe like 2 or 3 that you're holding. They would have seen every single play, understood every single situation, know what you like to do in this situation, that situation. And so, like, if you're just going to put it all on just C.J. Stroud, who's going to be 23 at that time, shoulder, then, like, I think that's going to limit the ceiling, how far this team can go. So until they can get a better running attack. And it doesn't have, they don't have to be like a top 10 rushing attack. They just have to be top 20. And then it's all right, you know. But if it's like 23rd, 24th, and you're averaging like 88 yards rushing a game, like, that's just not sustainable throughout the course of a year. Because you look at the majority, you know, most of the – actually, like, if you look at the last – the four teams that made the conference championship, I don't know exactly where the Chiefs finished last year in terms of rushing per game, but I know the Lions, Ravens, and Niners all finished within the top 10. So – and then again, like, even in that playoff game with the Cowboys and Packers – yeah, Jordan Love made some throws, but, you know, their running game ran all over the Cowboys, right? Like, the running game really, like, neutralizes great pass rushes. It neutralizes defenses because, like, you're on schedule and your whole playbook is available to you. You can run whatever you want to run when it's second and five versus when it's second and nine. You could try again. You don't get much. Now it's third and eight. And there's only so many plays. There's only, you can only live in third and eights and 37s for so long.
Texans reporter for ESPN, DJ Bien-Aimé with us in studio. I'm Paul Gallant. He's Joe George. To stay with the running offense, at what point does this fall on Bobby Slowick? Last year, the offensive line had a lot of injuries. Understandable excuse. Devin Singletary ends up being their lead running back by the end of the year. Mm-hmm. This year, it looks like the offensive line is going to be full strength, but from what I understand, generally, a Shanahan offense, whether it's Mike Shanahan back in the day or Kyle Shanahan, some variant of that offense, is supposed to make running the football very easy, regardless of your personnel. That's a simplistic way to look at things. Is Bobby Slowick, though, his biggest weakness, at least right now, that running the football has been difficult here?
No, I'd probably put it more on the offensive line coach. I mean, that's what it usually comes down to. Like, how good is your offensive line coach to be able to develop the guys that you need to the point where you can have an effective rushing attack. So I would put it more on him because, again, like, you know, Damian looked like a 1,000-yard back with this basically the same offensive line, right? Mm-hmm. They had the same pieces, like three out of five pieces. Kenyon Green, Laremy, and Titus, and he was almost a 1,000-yard back. Obviously, scheme plays a big factor into that. So that falls on Slowick, but I think a lot of it still falls on the offensive line. I think Chris Strouser.
And he has two assistants, it seems, Cole Popovich and Zach Yensky.
Because I remember, with Miami, the first year, they couldn't run the ball under Mike McDaniel, but then they got a new coach, and they finished as a top 10 rushing attack in 2023. So a lot of it does fall like on how good your offensive line coach is. If your offensive line coach isn't that good, I think that plays a bigger factor. That's why we always hear about Bill Callahan. Wherever he is, the offensive line looks good and they can run the football, you know. So I think a lot of that falls more on a position coach than anything.
We talked last week about, you know, Mechie, and you talked about his confidence and what you were seeing in camp. And we finally saw in this game this weekend against the Giants that he broke out a little bit in preseason action. Is this John Mechie confidence is back? Is his where you view him on this roster change now because of that performance against the Giants? Like, what's your view right now on still the most complicated part of the Texans roster cut down, the wide receiver room?
Yeah, no, I think, you know, that game, I'm pretty confident he'll make it now. He might play it next week, but might not have to play that much. But I'm pretty confident he'll make it now because Ben
Skowronek,
he's been hurt, so he's not gonna make the team.
Robert Woods, he gonna make it?
So I think it depends on if Noah Brown is on IR to start.
Is that a possibility? Because I know he's been out for a little bit.
He's been out for a little bit. You know, there's been buzz that he should come back soon, and like he was running sprints last week at practice. He's running sprints. He should be back fairly soon, so it might not be necessary. But if that's the case, then, you know, I think Robert could be on the way out. Because it'll be between Hutch and Robert, and it's like, are you going to pay, you know, like Robert doesn't have much guaranteed money on this thing. Hutch is rookie. He's, you know, going to be in year two.
So Xavier Hutchinson for those who
don't. Yeah. So it's like, would you rather go with the guy that's cheaper, that isn't going to, you know, get on the field that much, but it gives you special teams value. Robert doesn't give you much special team value. He might be a veteran presence, but you got Noah Brown. You got Stephon. Stephon can can give you the veteran presence. So, you know, I think that's the decision there, you know, but I think Mechie did what he needed to do to be on a team in that regard.
Texans beat reporter DJ Bien-Aimé with us in studio on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 on Twitch at ESPN 97.5 on YouTube at ESPN Houston. So as we get closer and closer to this team finalizing a roster, we still have one more preseason game to go. I know. I feel the same way.
Good.
What would be the most surprising person that doesn't make the team?
Desmond King.
Desmond King. Interesting. That makes sense with Jalen Petrie playing in that slot corner position.
And he's not the first guy off the bench for the nickel. It's Miles Bryant.
Wow. Yep. Interesting. Okay.
Yep. So, you know, last game, like, he literally, like, Miles Bryant was the first guy off the bench and got in. So he'd be interesting. He'd be a surprise one for people. Because, you know, I don't think people have, like, discussed it that much. But, yeah, I could see him possibly being a guy that gets cut. I think CJ Henderson could be a guy that gets cut.
I'd barely known he's been out there.
Yeah,
same thing with Jeffrey Okuda. Yeah. We touched on this a little earlier this week. I'm wondering about the depth at cornerback because, once you get past Derek Stingley, who has not the best injury history, and Kamari Lassiter, it's Chris Boyd and Mike Ford who are the first guys in. And Mike Ford has had a rough camp. He gets beat deep a lot.
Yeah.
And Chris Boyd, he's been out there. Right, but has he been impressive? It makes me wonder, with some corners that are still available, if that's something that they think about signing a veteran.
Yeah, that's what concerns me the most about this team. Like, the more that I've watched them, the more I realize they're just pretty top-heavy. Right.
You mentioned that with the offensive line before, and
Yeah, you know, like, the only position where I'm like, they got a lot of depth there is receiver.
Pass rusher.
And I can say, you can say run. No, not really.
Yeah.
You got Will and you got Daniil. Who else you have?
You don't feel good about Barnett? You don't feel good?
Nope. Really?
Why would I feel good about Barnett?
I mean, he was a pretty good impactful player last year, and then he's looked pretty good in preseason so far. He's not a 10 sack guy.
I think
Jerabear Hughes.
He's long in the tooth.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, you know, I'm just being honest. Like,
sharp teeth.
You know, like.
So you think the Judon, going after Judon stuff makes sense?
Yeah. That makes a lot of sense because they don't have that much depth at edge rusher.
Mm.
Like when you really think about it, like, who, like, again, outside of Will and Daniil, if one of them misses any time, that D-line becomes very average, if not below average.
What about Allie Gay?
You know, like, that's what I'm saying. Like, when you actually go through the names and look at the production and the fact that the majority of the D-line is on one-year deals, it's like, they can't afford injuries to Will or Daniil. Like, now if they have both of them, all right. Now you got a very prominent pass rush. But if one of them is out, which Will has been for a while, now it gets tricky. Because even on the play that Barnett made, you know how long it took for him to get there? 5 seconds. That play is 150% on Daniel Jones. You know, people might see him, but, oh, but he, you know, blah, blah, blah. It took him 5 seconds to get there, you know. And, again, like, they, you know, Daniel Jones had a clean pocket majority of the game when he was out there. And that speaks more to the depth concerns.
Mm.
And it's not that Giants have, like, you know, they're not known for having great O-lines, even though they invested a lot in it in the offseason. But, yeah, it's, you know, just me being honest. Like, you know, the depth at O-line and D-line, because it's top-heavy. Like, if the main five are healthy, Will, Daniil, Laramie, Shaq, Titus, all right. But if, you know, injuries start to happen, which you never know, then it can get tricky because, you know, just the guys behind them either aren't ready because they're too young, or they've just been journeymen throughout their career, and I would not start to expect them to do anything more. Now, obviously, Nico will be back, and that will be a massive plus. That will be a massive plus for Texans' defensive line, which is why it was a big loss.
Power ranking needs. So defensive line's up there. Offensive line's up there. Cornerback's up there.
Yeah.
Linebacker, I'd imagine, is up there, too, because what the hell's going on with Christian Harris?
Yeah, exactly.
So any clues, like, as to what's going on there?
Yeah, I mean, he's got calf injury.
Same calf injury as before.
That's what I'm saying. Like, if, you know,
he's not going to be gone for 8 months like Kyle Tucker.
Hypothetically, let's say, like, you know, Aziz had to miss a game. And obviously Christian Harris wasn't back. Now you have Jake Hansen and Henry Toa start in a linebacker. You know, like, it just, this team has to, they're going to really have to be healthy to make, you know, that type of run that people think that they can make, right? So, and again, like, you can't overcome it. I think Buffalo, they were able to overcome it. They were decimated on the defensive side, and they made it to the divisional round. But that took an epic choke job by Miami by, you know, blowing their lead in the, you know, in the division. So, I mean, again, it's like, you know, their depth for sure. They're top heavy. But if people are healthy, then, yeah, they can make a Super Bowl run. But if they're not healthy and they're missing guys in certain spots, like hypothetically, Laremy had to miss, like, an extended period amount of time. Like, the offense is going to become, like, a quick game drop back pass offense, and like eventually teams are going to be able to pick up on that, and that's going to limit how explosive they could be throughout the year.
I saw you reposted a video from when you were on, I think it was with Will Kunkel and, yep, and Stutes in July, and you gave a hot take. Derek Stingley Jr., Defensive Player of the Year. How you feeling about that after this preseason game?
Yeah, pretty, I mean, good? I'm feeling pretty good about that.
Listen to him. Yeah, feeling very good about that.
I'm feeling very good about that. The only thing that
no ball, yeah.
If he has a lot of, you know, if he has a lot of interceptions, the only thing that can hurt him is it's going to come down to, like, because Defensive Player of the Year is a team stat also. It's kind of like MVP. MVP is also a team stat.
Yeah, stats are for losers. Final scores for winners.
Yeah, says the Patriots fan. I get it. That's the only way. That's the only way they look.
Win
at
a
it.
Playoff game in the first round. You can't.
I get it. I get
Dolphins
it.
Blow.
But
I'm Tua. My coach needs to be.
Well, he Flores was tripping. But anyway,
I know he even admitted to it. To
yeah. What was I saying? So you threw me off.
Something about Stingley.
Stingley.
Sorry.
My CTE kicked in because Paul knocked me upside the head. Yeah, like, you know, it's a team stat, right? Like, Myles Garrett got Defensive Player of the Year last year. And his team was, his defensive unit, they were like number one total defense in the league. So that's usually how it goes, right? Lamar got MVP. Even though he didn't have the best stats across the board at all, actually. And there wasn't a single stat he led in. I don't even think there was anything he led, he was even in, like, in top five in. But his team, you know, had the best record, you know, arguably best record in the league. So that was that. So Stingley, I think he'll have the play of a guy that's a top tier guy, but with the interception thing on nature. But the defense is going to have to be a top five unit for him to really get that buzz. Because again, it's a team stat more than anything. Like, it's a, you know, at the end of the day, it's a team stat as much as it is an individual.
It's sort of, I feel like, in basketball where it's hard for a guard to win Defensive Player of the Year, it's hard for a corner to win that too. You're going to have to be on a great defense, and you're going to have to put up some numbers, like Stephon Gilmore all those years ago.
Yeah. Like I was just thinking that. Like, they had the number one defense in the league, and he was the best corner in the league. So, boom. You know, that's a good combination there. I remember Xavier Howard finished third in 2020. I think Miami had, like, a top three defense in the league. Even though they gave 56 in that Week 17 game to Buffalo, but I digress. That's a Flores-led defense, by the way. People won't talk about that. anyway. but he finished third, you know, and he had, like, 10 picks that year. You know, like, I think Bland would have had a really, really good shot last year if he didn't start giving up a boatload of touchdowns.
Bland, the touchdown machine.
Yeah. He started giving up a bunch of touchdowns while he was, you know, scoring touchdowns. He was giving up a bunch of touchdowns. But I think if he would have not been getting cooked on the national stage, he could have finished in the top some. So it really just comes down to how good your defense is and what are your stats like. So I think, you know, if the defense stays healthy, Derek could be in that. He'll be in that talk for sure.
I bet on Danielle Hunter to win Defensive Player of the Year.
What? Why would you do that?
Because he finished fifth in the NFL in sacks last year.
Yeah.
If he finishes with 16 plus sacks again last year, and they're one of the best defensive units in the NFL, he's going to have massive numbers. Because if Minnesota was good last year, it was a little bit of money. It was not a lot of bit of money. But I just think if you were a top pass rushing group in the NFL, he had more sacks than Myles Garrett. Why wouldn't he win it?
All right, so I just pulled up. All right, so another thing too, like,
you're so big.
We are talking about, you know, it is a media award where, you know, you have people with implicit biases. Daniil's not a big enough name to win Defensive Player of the Year.
It does hurt it.
Yeah, like I'm gonna go through.
That's your fault, DJ.
I'm gonna go through Liberal since media. Since 2000. Who's won? Ray Lewis, Michael Strahan, Derrick Brooks, Ray Lewis, Ed Reed, Brian Urlacher, Jason Taylor, Bob Sanders, James Harrison, Charles Woodson, Troy Polamalu, Terrell Suggs, T.J. Watt 3 times, Luke Kuechly, Khalil Mack, Aaron Donald, Stephon Gilmore, Aaron Donald again, T.J. Watt, Nick Bosa, and Myles Garrett.
Yeah, Sanders is really the only one that stands out because was like he had a 2-year run where he was awesome.
Right.
Counter.
That's a good point.
My counter. C.J. Stroud and the Houston Texans are going to be on primetime 6 games this year. So if Daniil Hunter balls out in those games and has 3 sacks for Stack Prescott and the Cowboys,
he's just going to be known as Hunter.
Yeah, he's going to be known Hunter. Like I don't think he has the buzz to get that type of.
Well,
glory.
I'm making that buzz because of his biceps.
Yeah, Paul's all those
liberal
biceps.
Media doesn't want to talk about his biceps.
Yeah, I mean, you know.
DJ's
you know.
Intimidated by his biceps.
I want to know what he does.
But, like, 16 sacks, I mean, I just don't know if that would get. Daniil is just not a, like, from a name perspective, like, it's just hard for me to envision people. Because, you know, like.
Like, honestly, Will Anderson's more likely. Because of
if
the,
he had, if, okay, so if, the name. If Will has 16, Daniil has 16, Will has a way better shot of winning Defensive Player of the Year.
All right.
It's not, yeah, and it's not even, and it, I'm not saying it's fair or not, but we are talking about people that, you know, people that vote who don't necessarily, I won't say they don't watch all the games. Well, they don't watch all the games, actually.
They can't watch all the games.
They can't, and that's not fair to them. So, like, Texas will be on a prime time a lot, which will help, which could help, you know, your argument, but it's still, like, Daniil Hunter. Like, I'm just being honest, like. Damar Hamlin did not win comeback player of the year after dying on a football field. And they gave it to Joe Flacco because Joe Flacco just stunk the year before. He came back. It was a cooler story. He's a bigger – well, I mean, Damar is a bigger name per se. But in terms of on the football field, Joe Flacco as a player is a more renowned player. So, like
– that's fair.
Like, all that stuff plays a factor into it. That's why, you know –
yeah, Hamlin's a special teams player.
Yeah,
that's part of it.
Yeah, but I mean, he should have won the comeback player. He died on the football field. I like that was one of the most egregious mistakes in voting history.
Problem. Here's the problem with it is that they had him finish second, and John Metchie wasn't in the top 10. He overcame cancer.
So that's fine. Those two, it should have been between those two. It should have been between those two. Like, period. It should be between those two. Like, I'm fine with that. Like, if Tank Dell does not win comeback player of the year, then we should get rid of the award. He got shot and he broke his leg. It should be minus 30,000 for Tank Dell to win comeback player of the year. But he won't. He might not because, you know, for whatever. Brian Robinson didn't win comeback player of the year. And he got shot in season. While getting robbed. Yeah. Yeah. But hey, if you have some quarterback that just sucked the year before, he throws for like maybe 2,500 yards, he'll win the award. You know,
it's gonna be Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, exactly. You go and forget about it. All Aaron gotta do is like throw 23 touchdowns, 3,800 yards, 5 picks. Oh, comeback player of the year. Popped his Achilles.
He's the
best. And he came back.
He overcame skipping mandatory camp for Egypt.
Yeah. You know, like it's like
that's a lot.
But what about Tank? Tank got shot and he broke his leg. So Aaron Rodgers, he's a quarterback. He's cool. You know what I'm saying? Like, nah, like that.
He was almost the vice president.
He was almost the exactly. I hate the fact that DeMar didn't win comeback player of the year. I think it completely refutes and like poops on what the award's supposed to be. Man, that was a
see. We got DJ worked up because he's clearly over the preseason. But now we know your triggers. We're gonna get you next time right away. I'm gonna give a long thought out take about why Damar Hamlin didn't deserve it.
Okay,
I'll go full Skip Bayless on it. He's DJ Bieniemy. You can catch his work for ESPN covering the Houston Texans. Always a pleasure, DJ. We'll see you next week. Stick around. It's ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything.
Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Lowe's knows when you're looking for reliability, the right brand makes all the difference. And now, Lowe's is the exclusive home improvement retailer for the Whirlpool water treatment line, including their Wi-Fi softener, under-sink filtration system, and more. With Whirlpool's proven performance and our everyday low prices, better tasting, better quality water is within reach. Shop pro-trusted brands like Whirlpool and more, in-store or online. Lowe's. We help. You save.
Remember those endless summer days that felt like they just last forever? Sun rays kiss your skin, grass tickles your toes as you bite into the creamy popsicle melting in your hand. Pure, unbothered bliss. Capture more sun-drenched memories with the Orange Vanilla Dream Hydration Multiplier from Liquid IV. This nostalgic vanilla flavor with notes of candied orange can help keep you hydrated while savoring your favorite golden hour moments. No matter how hot your summer gets, just one stick of Liquid IV and 16 ounces of water hydrates you better than water alone. It's three times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, with 8 vitamins and nutrients for refreshing on-the-go hydration. Live your summer dream with Liquid IV. Tear, pour, live more. Go to liquidiv.com and get 20% off your first order with code INDULGE20 at checkout. That's code INDULGE20 at liquidiv.com.